The Will Cain Show podcast is presented by the Capital One Saver Card. Earn 4% cash back on dining and entertainment, 2% at grocery stores, and 1% on all other purchases.
This is the Will Cain Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Within the next hour to the next hour and a half, we could have a plan to bring back baseball by July. Or, as is often the case, it could get killed because of money. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. And you can join the conversation at 888-729-3776. Coming up on today's show, one of the most underrated aspects of ranking quarterback play is who's standing in front of your franchise centerpiece. Literally, who is protecting your young quarterback? If we're going to rank quarterbacks, we might as well rank offensive lines. If we pair them together, we might just find out which quarterbacks, from Sam Darnold to Baker Mayfield, are ready to take the leap. Plus, ESPN.com is ranking the top 74 players in NBA history. They've arrived at number 10. But 11 through 74 provide some interesting conversations, like who are the best point guards in NBA history, the best power forwards in NBA history, and why are modern players who've won nothing being ranked ahead of generational players that took their teams to the NBA Finals? That's all coming up a little bit later here on the Will Cain Show, but it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Major League Baseball owners have approved a plan to return the July 4th weekend, but as is often the case, this is going to come down to money. The owners have proposed that players accept a 50-50% split in revenue. And this is something the Major League Baseball Players Union has said is not acceptable. Will this kill the deal? We'll find out within the next 90 minutes as the Major League Baseball Players Association is set to meet and vote on this proposal. But should they? Well, former Major League Baseball player Mark Teixeira was on Get Up this morning, and he said, this is a reasonable proposal. The players need to take the deal. Listen.
You know, the Major League Baseball Players Association has a very strict stance about, salary caps and revenue splitting, and they want an open market. They want a free market, and they're right. You know, in any other year, if this was a negotiation, the players would hold firm, and, you know, I'd be behind them 100%. Unfortunately, with these crazy times and this economic disaster that we have in our country, the owners just can't afford to open up the game and pay players a full fare when they're only going to be getting pennies on the dollar back for every game played.
If players do not accept a 50-50 split, I don't know how they can look the rest of us in the eye. Everywhere across society right now, people are making sacrifices. Sacrifices to their daily lives, but also sacrifices to their bottom line. You can't find an industry today. You can't find a worker today who's not taking less. Every industry is suffering, but every industry also wants to come back. The sacrifices are something you and I, our neighbors, our friends, our loved ones, and our executives and our businesses are all trying to survive. In a moment of crisis, for a temporary proposal, I don't know how Major League Baseball players could decline a 50-50 revenue split to survive during this baseball season and look the rest of us in the eye. This is what the proposal entails: to bring baseball back by July. It would be roughly half a season, 82 games, start around the 4th of July. No fans in the stands, and in some cases, if local governments are not allowing people to gather, even in numbers that would allow a baseball game to take place, teams in places like California could perhaps move to Arizona or Florida to conduct their games. More extreme circumstances, like the nation of Canada, who requires anybody entering to go through a 14-day quarantine before emerging in Canadian society, would require the Toronto Blue Jays as well to relocate south for the remainder of the Major League Baseball season. The schedule would then be regionalized, meaning most of the teams would play heavily local schedules. When playing interdivision, the NL Central would play the AL Central. You're going to play teams closer to you in geography. You're going to try to minimize travel, no cross-country trips or minimal cross-country trips. And then expand the Major League Baseball playoffs to 14 teams. Now, it doesn't satisfy everything. Obviously, there's a big debate to be had about the 50-50 revenue split. And there are questions about whether or not there's going to be enough testing for everyone in baseball. How frequent will the testing be? Will it seem piggish compared to frontline workers and the rest of society who also needs access to testing for sports to be prioritized to come back? And then the great big question of what happens if there is a positive test. But to baseball's credit, they are trying to put together a plan to come back. The trouble that baseball is going to have is the same trouble we've talked about here on the Will Cain Show for weeks now. And that is, it is not a top-down, executive-level-led sport. It is a consensus-led sport. And you cannot lead through a crisis by consensus. The sports that are coming back are the sports that usually rule with a heavy hand. And also the sports that seem to be winning when it comes to revenue growth and prominence in society. It's sports like the Dana White-led UFC. Sports like the NFL. Sports that are more contingent upon the agreement consensus of their employees, of their players. Like Major League Baseball and the NBA are going to have a harder road back. Yesterday, here on the Will Cain Show, I said the one sport I'm most pessimistic about its ability to return in 2020 is the NBA. And as we speak right now, the NBA Players Association has sent out a text to all of its 400-some-odd NBA players asking them for a simple yes or no reply. Do you want to come back and play this season? I assume those texts, those votes, are being tallied as we speak. But if you are trying to run your business by democracy, if you're trying to make decisions in a crisis by consensus, status quo at best, and shutdown at worst, I think are the most likely outcomes. And Buster Olney, Major League Baseball insider for ESPN, was on Spain & Company last night. He seemed to share that pessimism. Listen.
I am more skeptical in this hour that there will be baseball played this year than I have been at any point, just seeing all this public fighting erupt out into the open. Because you guys know, no matter which side you think is right or wrong, they're all going to lose in the court of public opinion, and they're going to be entrenched.
So you think the money is going to be the sticking point?
We're seeing that, and as they say, it's built upon already such a fragile situation when it comes to the medical side.
Yeah.
I would encourage everyone, Sean Doolittle of the Washington Nationals, one of the most thoughtful players in the game, addressed a lot of the medical questions on his Twitter feed today. Different issues have to be raised. After he posted that, I actually had some players reach out to me and say that he raised questions they hadn't even thought of. That stuff all has to be worked out, and in some respects, the more complicated side is the money.
We've wondered. We've worried. How do you work out the health implications? How do you work out the risk when it comes to player health? Is there enough testing? What happens if you get a positive coronavirus test? But now we have a new wrinkle in Major League Baseball, and we'll see soon with the NBA, and that is, how do you split up the money? Think about a Major League Baseball season, half a season at that. It would be such a welcome relief. It would also be a lot of fun. More randomness, more meaning in every single game, a bigger, broader 14-team playoff, more unpredictability. But what is so predictable is everything will devolve into a fight over money. If Major League Baseball players cannot accept a 50-50 revenue split during a national crisis when the alternative is a shutdown, perhaps they should not be able to then look the rest of us in the eye as we make similar sacrifices to our jobs, our lives. Perhaps this one is one they can let slide. That's Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Our buddy Dan Orlovsky was on Get Up this morning. He gave yet another quarterback ranking. He gave yet another controversial quarterback ranking. His top five quarterbacks in the league. I'll give you one guess who's in and who's out. He's coming up a little bit later on the Will Cain Show, but if we're going to rank quarterbacks, I think a real, responsible, contextual, accurate way to do it would be say who's standing in front of them, who's protecting them. If we're looking for quarterbacks to make the leap this coming year, and I know there are many fan bases out there hoping their franchise guy, if you're sitting around in Cleveland, if you're somewhere in Long Island or New Jersey, hoping that Sam Darnold makes the leap, you might wonder, did you do everything you can to protect him? Which quarterbacks could make the leap? And on the other side of the token, which ones could regress because they don't have enough protection? That's coming up next on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why we created Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges like overtipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, then sends an alert to your phone and helps if you need to fix them. Another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
GEICO knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers, always there for you, rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with GEICO on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
GEICO Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Andrew from Illinois.
I've been listening to you a long time. For the first time, I actually totally agree with your viewpoint on a story.
Don't agree with Will? Not sure how that could happen. Call 888-SAY-ESPN now.
We wonder, when will these young quarterbacks take the leap? Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Kyler Murray, Daniel Jones. Well, the answer is when they're protected enough to reach their full potential. I'll give you the one team that's done that job, in my estimation, to put their quarterback, their young quarterback, in the position to take the leap. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Before I get to that, and our buddy Dan Orlovsky, who's coming up in about 10 minutes here on the Will Cain Show, I want to read you a tweet, a breaking news tweet from within the last hour. This from the Los Angeles Times. Breaking. Los Angeles County's stay-at-home orders will, quote, with all certainty, be extended for the next 3 months. Los Angeles County Public Health Director Barbara Ferrer acknowledged during a Board of Supervisors meeting on Tuesday. I've just now begun to read through the article in the LA Times. I haven't yet finished it. So I'm not yet positive what the next 3 months entails. Is that May, June, July? We are in the middle of May right now, so is that mid-June, mid-July, mid-August? But the next 3 months, stay-at-home orders will, with all certainty, be extended in Los Angeles. We just got done talking about Major League Baseball trying to put together a plan to come back on July 4th. As we speak, NBA Players Association members, some 400-odd NBA players, are giving a simple yes or no vote to their union on whether or not they want to come back and play this season. And the NFL is putting into place plans to go forward with its season as scheduled. But let's take one moment and survey the landscape of June, July, and August. The proposal for Major League Baseball is to return on July 4th. That would be 45 days of seasonal play with stay-at-home orders in Los Angeles. How will the Dodgers and Angels play out their schedule, the abbreviated proposed 82-game schedule, in that environment? What more, how do they do spring training, at least not locally, in the month of June? The Lakers, if the NBA decides to come back. The Clippers, on a title run, if the NBA decides to come back. I presume this would mean would not be making that run in the city of Los Angeles. And if the orders do extend through August 15th, that means training camp for anyone in Southern California, or at least within Los Angeles County, would be moved. That's not just the Chargers, the Rams, that's the Dallas Cowboys as well, who conduct their training camp in Southern California. If, in fact, stay-at-home orders do extend for the next 3 months, and I'm sure that Los Angeles won't be the only place to take those kind of measures, how do we bring equitable competitively fair return to sports across this nation? We probably do not. And then we decide, do we bring back inequitable, competitively unfair sports to this nation? Hopefully we do. Because if we can't do that, then we do not bring sports back, fair or unfair, to this nation anytime soon. Albert Breer, who retweeted that, by the way, and is one of the ways I found that note from the Los Angeles Times, had in his column this morning on the Monday Morning Quarterback a conversation about teams who have gone and taken big steps towards protecting their young franchise centerpiece. He talked about teams that have really invested in upgrading their offensive line. We talked about it here on the Will Cain Show. We have on our show staff Giants fans, Jets fans. We don't have Browns fans, but we have almost every franchise represented that needs to beef up its offensive line to see if the investment they've made in the quarterback position is worth it. And Breer talked about, as we did for weeks, teams going into the draft needing to do just that. If you look at top quarterbacks across this league, you shouldn't just rely on Dan Orlovsky's rankings every other morning on Get Up. Dan Orlovsky will join us in just a moment here on The Will Cain Show. You should also rely on who is protecting these quarterbacks, because make no mistake, when you look at the top quarterbacks across the league, isn't it interesting how they often, almost invariably, have good offensive lines? Look at this. This is Pro Football Focus's top five offensive lines in the NFL. Number five, the New Orleans Saints. Quarterback, Drew Brees, who did not make Orlovsky's top five list this morning, something I'll take up with him in just a few moments. Number four, the Dallas Cowboys. Right now, Caesar's odds have Dak Prescott third in MVP odds this coming season. At number three, the Indianapolis Colts. You can find a quote of why Philip Rivers chose to join the Indianapolis Colts when he left the Chargers this offseason. And you know what the answer is? It's because of that offensive line. Rivers is aware of these relationships. Number two, the Baltimore Ravens. Again, these are the rankings according to Pro Football Focus. Lamar Jackson, your reigning NFL MVP. And number one, the Philadelphia Eagles and their quarterback, Carson Wentz. So let's look down the list. Let's look at some of the teams who have young quarterbacks. How are they doing? Well, Joe Burrow stepping into a rough situation. Last year's offensive line for the Bengals ranked number 30th. Tua Tagovailoa steps into a Dolphins offensive line that ranked 32nd. Sam Darnold and the New York Jets, 28th. Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns, 23rd. Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals, 22nd. Now, some of these teams have made big additions. The Dolphins drafted three or four offensive linemen they hope to get some contribution out of. They signed Ereck Flowers to play guard. That's important, to play guard. The Bengals have in the past invested in their offensive line. They're hoping some of those guys come of age. The Jets got a free agent in George Fant and drafted Mekhi Becton. They're hoping that helps. The Browns, Jack Conklin from free agency, Jedrick Wills in the draft. So who helped themselves? Who's getting better? Who's getting worse? Well, the Dolphins need a lot of these young guys to step up for me to give them credit. The Jets are banking a lot on the unproven right now in Fant and Becton. So you wouldn't want to place your bet, in my estimation, on Darnold being the guy that makes that leap. I like what the Browns have done with Wills and Conklin. Baker basically has everything. If his new coach and his new system suit him, has everything around him now to succeed. Kyler and the Cardinals didn't quite make the investment. I thought they should have gone offensive line in the first round. You know who's getting worse, by the way? You know who ranked 31st in offensive line play? The Los Angeles Rams and Jared Goff. Ouch. That doesn't look good for the future, because that team is being torn down, not built up. But there's one team that I think has done the right thing in building around their young quarterback, putting him in a position to succeed. I don't know if this quarterback is going to end up being everything his team hopes. I don't know if he has the high ceiling potential, but I do think we're going to have the ability to find out. I think the New York Giants, with Nate Solder, Andrew Thomas, Will Hernandez, Kevin Zeitler, are giving Jones, young Daniel Jones, the protection he needs and the running back to hand it off to succeed. I think we should have a fair estimate of whether or not Daniel Jones is everything the Giants hoping to be, because they have put protection in front of him, invested in the right place to find out. He's the one that could make the leap. And if he doesn't, it will be on him and his coaching staff if he doesn't. I'll ask Dan Orlovsky what he thinks, plus why does he make crazy lists, and why does he have the Carson Wentz-Dak Prescott fight every single day? That's coming up on The Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
GEICO knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers, always there for you, rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with GEICO on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
GEICO Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
I'm fascinated by Charles Barkley and Michael Jordan's relationship. They just can't put it behind them, their troubles. And I think I'm on Chuck's side. That's coming up on The Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, brought to you by Barbasol Shaving Cream. Barbasol is now better than ever, America. Try the new Ultra Grip can today with protective cap and rust-proof aluminum bottom. Close shave, America. Close shave, Barbasol. While we were in commercial break, everybody on the show who are proud Connecticutites, Connecticutians. What are you, Bubba? A Connecticut?
Nutmeggers.
Megger?
Connecticutian?
That's what, no, it's nutmeggers.
Someone from Connecticut is called a nutmegger?
Yeah.
That is ridiculous.
Ridiculously great.
It's either an ite or an ian in almost any state. And y'all just
it's
went rogue and
state.
Said nutmeggers?
What are you, jealous?
I don't buy it. Well, notable nutmegger Dan Orlovsky's on the phone, and the entire commercial break conversation was whether or not you're the most famous nutmegger, I guess, in existence. Is that what all you guys were debating?
Well, I don't.
In the sports world?
I don't know about that, but.
Yeah, I mean, there's no shot that that's the case.
Yeah, I don't know who said that. I think you might have said that.
Mike A said Orlovsky's the most famous.
His, like, father-in-law said that or something.
Dan, are you more famous?
I think we threw out like 30
Steve
names.
Steve Young?
Yeah, that's what I said. Steve Young is from Connecticut. It ends there.
Aaron Hernandez, you said, Bubba. That's a good one.
I did throw out Aaron. He's also.
Jeff Bagwell?
Jeff Bagwell's a good one.
Are you more
Ryan
famous
Leach?
Than are you more famous than Byron Jones, Dan?
Probably not. I mean, he played for the biggest fan base in football in the Cowboys, so there's a big following there.
Good point.
You know, I mean, I probably not.
I used to walk around that mall in Farmington, Orlovsky, and there'd be a Cowboys Jones jersey, and it took me some time to figure out why in this, like, jersey shop. I ultimately put it together. Oh, yeah, okay, UConn Huskies. Yeah, but
yeah.
I didn't see an Orlovsky one in that jersey shop.
Yeah, they were sold out 15 years ago, bub.
Oh, they need to restock. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So maybe not most famous, but up there. That's what we're going with here. Dan Orlovsky here on the Will Cain Show. Okay. You did your top five list. The thing about it is, man, I'm not even going to take the bait anymore, right? Sometimes I feel like it's, and I know it's not because it's self flattering for me to think so. Sometimes I feel like it's targeted at me. And it's like, this is designed just to get me riled up. I really couldn't figure out which one was supposed to suck me in more. Your Dak tweets the other day about 2019 or your Rapinoe Bird 2020 shirt tweet.
Yeah, all right. So you know what? This is where I am with it. One, are my tweets inaccurate? Or am I literally just telling you absolute truth?
Well, I don't think Megan Rapinoe and Sue Bird are even going to run for president.
Not an opinion. Two, the Rapinoe Bird shirt is strictly because I went to school with Sue. I'm friends with Sue. That's all it was. It's just a shirt of a friend.
Always brag.
Three, the list. Hey, Dan, make another list. Okay, here's my list. And I say, guys, when we get to number five, I got some names I could throw in there. I could put Wentz. I could put Stafford. I could put Breeze. I could put Rodgers. And Dom Foxworth said, put Wentz in there so I can argue with you. I said, okay, that's fine.
Well, that's where you messed up.
That's
where
you want to sit here and argue with me, Watson, Rodgers, all that stuff. Five, cool. You want to put him at five, cool. But he wanted Wentz to argue Dak.
Well, that's where you pooped the bed. You shouldn't have done it just to have an argument. Because I mean, you can, and we have, and you did have the wins versus Dak argument again. But I don't think any of us, I don't think any of us should put them above Breeze right now, right? I mean, Watson's a debate, I think, as well, but Breeze, Rodgers is probably a debate, but Breeze belongs in the top five quarterbacks right now.
Yeah, again, I'm not going to stand here and pound the table in argument with you about that one. Like, yes, you can make the case. Again, I was the person who got on radio with you last year and said, if you're going to have a conversation and throw a handful of names around as greatest quarterback ever, you can't do it and not include Drew Brees' name in there. So, like, I don't have a passionate, you know, sticking point to argue that Drew Brees should not be in that top five list.
No, you should be it the other way. You should passionately argue that he is and Carson Wentz is not. That's how.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, and like I said, like if you wanted to do that, I couldn't stand here and just absolutely throw punches at you like I could if it is Carson or Dak.
Okay. I'm going to give you a name of some quarterbacks here and I'm going to ask you who's going to take the leap. Okay. Who's going to step up into their potential, whatever it may be. Here you go. You've got Sam Darnold. You've got Baker Mayfield. You got Kyler Murray and you got Daniel Jones. Who would you expect to take the leap in 2020 to start fulfilling their potential?
Yeah, if I had to like rank them one through four, I put Baker number one. You know, Baker is a quarterback that does something very well specifically. That's the play action pass, and Kevin Stefanski is bringing that over. You look at the quarterbacks that majored in that last year, that play action, wide zone play action passing game. It was Goff, it was Cousins, it was Garoppolo, it was Tannehill, and it was Rodgers. They completed like 67% of their passes for 150 touchdowns and 40 interceptions or something like that. I mean, quarterbacks just play well in that offense. So they plug the two offensive line holes with good players. Baker is a significantly better quarterback in the play action game than he is in the drop back game. It's going to help him see better and his accuracy will come back. So I would put Baker at one. I think Kyler Murray at two. You know, if you look at what Kyler Murray did really well last year, two things were throwing the deep ball and throwing outside of the pocket. If you look at one of the receivers that's best at going on the deep ball and making plays outside of the pocket, it's DeAndre Hopkins. And so the marriage between quarterback and receiver between those two guys, I see really good. Also, Larry Fitz is now going to be able to have so much more of a favorable matchup. I'd say number three would probably this year would be Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones is the guy that I think I missed on. You know, I was like, man, what does this guy just do so well to be a top five pick? But he obviously had a very good year. And if Thomas is the starting tackle that a lot of people think he is, that offensive line's automatically better. And that receiving core is still sound. It's still solid. Slayton is an up-and-coming really good player. I still think the Jets are a year away with Sam Darnold just because their receiving core is arguably worse this year than it was last year. Now, the line should be better, but that receiving core is going to be very, very basic.
And I know how much you like Sam Darnold, so I'm a little bit surprised for you to have him last. But hear me out on this. I'm going to give you my feedback, and you tell me if you think I'm off. If you look at the best quarterbacks in the NFL, there's such a strong relationship between how you would rank those quarterbacks and how you would rank those offensive lines. Yeah. Carson Wentz has the best offensive line in the NFL, according to Pro Football Focus. Lamar Jackson, 2. The Dallas Cowboys are 4. The New Orleans Saints are 5. By the way, I skipped the Colts in there. We'll see how Rivers performs this year. And so I went through earlier in the show, Dan, I looked at all these young quarterbacks, and each of those teams have tried to upgrade their offensive line to some degree. We'll see if the Jets' decisions work out. The Cardinals actually didn't double down on their offensive line the way they could have in the draft. The one team that I think's put the most effort into putting big protection in front of their young asset is the New York Giants. They have really invested over multiple years. I know the Browns just did this last offseason, but the Giants have some guys now in front of Daniel Jones that I think should really help him make the leap if he's capable of it.
Yeah, and that's why when the Giants were picking at 4, I had said for 6 months, they got to take offensive line because it's not only about Daniel Jones, it's also about Saquon, right? And as good as a player of like a Derrick Brown or a Isaiah Simmons are, and as intriguing or enticing as they were going to be, you know, Daniel Jones was a guy that was put in a situation last year. I don't want to say he was put in a situation to fail, but he wasn't put in a situation where it was like, man, you just step in and play and we're not going to ask you to do a lot. He was really good last year, and that was with a coach that, you know, you ended up getting fired. What's he going to do? You're replacing a Hall of Famer, and they don't have a marquee guy. Golden's a good player, and Shep's a good player. And like I said, Slayton came on. Ingram missed some time. The offensive line was bad, and Saquon was hurt. and he still played really good football. Now, I think the biggest thing that, you know, kind of allowed him to do that was he's got really good accuracy and really good anticipation. Now, for him to take the step forward, yes, that offensive line is going to have to play better. Will Hernandez has to take the step, and like I said, Thomas. But I'm the number one thing I'm looking at with Daniel Jones, it's really two things. Is the arm stronger? Because for him to really, again, you can't take him at six and him become a good player. He's got to become a rock star, right? And so for him to become a rock star, the arm has to get stronger. Because playing against zone defenses, when eyes were on the quarterback, that's where he was vulnerable last year. And to fit balls into tight windows, your arm has got to be strong enough. So that I want to see if that gets better. And two, just in those moments of panic, those moments of where they separate okay players from good players to really good to great players, is those moments of panic. And I want to see if he gets better in those two areas.
All right. Dan Orlovsky here on the Will Cain Show. I wish you luck tomorrow in all your fighting with Cowboys fans.
They've already started. Do you want me to share some of the tweets, or we're good with that, right?
We're good with that right now. It's a never-ending stream with you.
And then, later, buddy.
See you, man. It's Dan Orlovsky here on the Will Cain Show. Charles Barkley and Michael Jordan just can't get past it, and I'm on Team Chuck. I'll explain coming up on the Will Cain Show.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
I believe a couple of things. Number one, you do your job, you let the chips fall where they may. We're not in the job of being liked, we're in the business of telling the truth. And number two, if you go around asking everybody around you to have thick skin, you then can't, in turn, be all sensitive. And that's why I'm Team Chuck over Michael Jordan. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and more at progressive.com. Before we get to Barkley versus Jordan, let's go ahead and correct the record. Bubba just held out to everyone on a national radio audience that people from Connecticut are called nutmeggers.
Correct.
That is incorrect. That is a nickname. That is a nickname. That is a nickname for people from Connecticut.
The correct nickname.
Not unlike calling somebody from Ohio a Buckeye. It's technically something you can call them, but it's not something you would say he is a blank and everybody would know what you're talking about.
No, that's false, though. That is what everyone says and everyone would know what we're talking about. Ask Dan, ask Nuno, ask anyone who's
not on the equivalent, a Californian, a Texan, or Floridian, a Michigander, a nutmegger. No, it's not. That's not it.
No, I agree. It's different. It's a nickname version, but that no one, whatever you're about to say, no one says that. What if you're going to say Connecticut or Cutter or whatever you're going to say? I don't even know what you're going to say. No one says
Sam
that.
Sam Peters in the 1700s referred to people from Connecticut as Connecticutensians.
Okay. I can guarantee you no one in Connecticut says that.
But in 1702, Cotton Mather decided they would be Connecticutians.
Oh, thanks, Cotton.
But people who live in Connecticut, I'm reading right now, or who came from Connecticut, are called Connecticuters. That's what people from Connecticut are.
Okay.
I'm just telling you.
I mean, congratulations, Bub. You're a Connecticutian.
I'm just telling you what Nuno, Dan, and I, and all our fellow nutmeggers would say. We're nutmeggers.
If you were at a party and somebody said, "Hey, Dan's from Connecticut too," you'd be like, "Oh, fellow nutmegger."
I absolutely. I mean, I wouldn't say that, but I mean, I would. No, I guarantee you, no one in Connecticut ever says whatever that word you just said.
He's a Connecticuter.
No one ever says that.
Connecticuter.
Get people on the phone, 888-CSPN from Connecticut. I guarantee you 9 out of 10 have never even heard of that, and they say nutmegger.
So you say like a Californian would say he's a Californian, or a Texan would say he's a Texan, or a Floridian would say they're a Floridian.
Correct.
You would say he's a nutmegger.
Yeah, mainly because it's such an awkward word. Yeah, I'm not disputing that may be the correct term, but I'm just telling you because it is such a weird phrase and it is awkward name that we just say nutmegger.
Do you ever call him just a Megger, just for short?
I haven't, because that's kind of more of like a soccer term.
Well, it's short for nutmeg.
I understand. Yeah. I get it, but I don't know.
Is it awkward that in soccer a nutmeg is kicking it, you know, between somebody's legs?
Not particularly. One minute.
And then you guys are nutmegs?
I don't know. Nuno, was it awkward?
No, not awkward at all.
Thank you.
If you guys were in a party at like in Iowa or something, would you be like, I'm a nutmegger, and you'd expect them to know what you meant?
Well, no, I would just say I'm from Connecticut, but I'm just, again, I'm just telling you, we would just say nutmeggers. No one has ever said, I've never said that word. I still don't even know what it is. That's all I'm
so
telling you.
So silly. New Yorkers.
That's all I'm telling you.
Why don't they come up with something unique in New York?
I know. You would love that as a true New Yorker.
Yeah. A faux Texan. True New Yorker. Charles Barkley versus Michael Jordan is, I guess, a now decade-long icy relationship. And it's because Charles Barkley criticized Michael Jordan's managerial skills in the NBA that Michael Jordan cannot forgive him. And Charles isn't asking for forgiveness. I'll play the sound next on the Will Cain Show.
Thank you for listening to the Will Cain Podcast. You can listen to The Will Cain Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Cain Podcast.